If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, my guests are Willie Matus of Gleaners Food Bank and returning now for, I think this is the third or fourth time, right?
I believe so.
Indianapolis Public Safety Director Troy Riggs. Welcome to both of you. It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, first, what this program is, what the plan is for it, and then we're going to talk a little bit about how it got started and what we hope it will accomplish. Director Riggs, I'll start with you. How did what do you hope to do with this?
Well, what we're hoping to do is meet a need for many of our residents in these areas. We have six focus areas that we've really been working on. And what we found out by talking to individuals and having community conversations in these areas, that hunger is a very real problem. Not only are we hearing that from adults and especially seniors, but when we had a meeting of about 300 to 400 young people, the theme kept coming back to us that they had a lot of needs, but one of the main needs was that they're hungry when school's not in session. And that was very troublesome to us. I mean, how do you grasp all the opportunities you have in this great nation if the first thing you have to worry about is where you're going to get your next meal? And I was invited by Cindy to Gleaners to talk to their board and gave them all the terrible information that we have regarding the quality of life for individuals in these areas and how hunger is a big issue. They asked specific questions, and we are very thankful that they called us a few days later, not even weeks, just days later, and said that Gleaners want to be a part of that. And remember, anytime Gleaners does this, they're doing this to help citizens, but this is an extra $100,000 to $150,000 that they didn't plan for this year in the budget, and they're stepping out in faith and helping us, and we're very grateful, and the residents are very excited as well.
Why did you guys get involved, Willie?
We got involved, obviously, as Director Riggs was talking about when he came and presented those six hot spots and just the repeated answers about how kids were hungry, and that was the reason that they were, whether committing crimes or getting into trouble or just trying to provide for their families, opting to do things that they wouldn't normally do. We had Director Riggs telling us a story about really good kids doing bad things because they wanted to feed their families. And so we wanted to get involved, obviously, with our mission to lead the fight against hunger. We need to partner with all community organizations who are willing to join that fight and really come with a further end goal, not just putting food on the table, but what are the effects of putting food on that table? How is it going to make our community better? And this idea that Director Riggs and Cindy were able to develop is fantastic.
That sort of sets up what is the natural next question. What are the goals here? I mean, obviously the first one is to have some people not be hungry, but long term, in some ways it's being presented as a crime prevention program or crime alleviation program. So what do we hope to accomplish out of doing this?
Well, it is. There's a lot that we hope to accomplish. Number one, obviously feeding people that are hungry. When we have done this, and last year we did an unprecedented step of having summer jobs in the summer jobs program, and we raised money for that. We're doing that again this year. And where we found out we were offering money and food while young people were working, some of the petty crimes that are associated with kids out of school went to pretty much zero. Small-type street armed robberies went to zero in these areas because people were hungry. And we heard that from the kids. So we're hoping not only to offer children an opportunity to make some money, to be mentored in those summer jobs, but also to feed them. What this feeding will do will take one thing that this family doesn't have to worry about. If we can feed them and offer them food, they can use money for health care. They can use money for other things. The other thing that Gleaners is helping us with is because of this, now not only can we have people coming to get food needed, but we also know that if you live in one of these six areas that we're targeting those because we want to enhance their quality of life. We're going to have people there that can help with mental illness, dependency issues. If you live in one of these six areas, then you have a 200%+ greater likelihood that someone near you suffers from a mental illness than anywhere else in the city of Indianapolis. A lot of that is because prenatal care. Some of that's because of living conditions. We're going to try to address that better. We know that there's a lot of dependency issues because of people's reliance on drugs. We're going to have people there to talk to them about that. So we're going to be doing that. And at the end of the day, the biggest thing that will come out of this is that the city of Indianapolis, not the government, not just the Department of Public Safety, but all of the city of Indianapolis is saying we care about all of our residents. We want to help all of our residents gain the opportunities this great nation affords. And when we do that, we get better collaboration. There's a sense of community. And when there's a sense of community, your quality of life enhances and crime is reduced. That is our goal overall, is really to enhance the quality of life.
Willie, what are Gleaner's goals? I mean, obviously, you're not the same as the city of Indianapolis, so it's probably a little naive to assume that your goals are exactly congruent with the city's.
Right. Not exactly congruent, but on a very close parallel. I mean, our vision is food for every table, hope for every future. So this, I mean, putting food on the tables of these kids, of these families, is going to put hope in their future. They're going to know that people are caring about them. They're going to know that our public safety officers and everyone cares for them. They're there for the betterment of the community, for a better quality of life. And I think a really exciting thing for Gleaners, too, is that this is starting right as summer hits its stride. There's a lot of need when these summer breaks come. A lot of kids really rely on the free and reduced lunch plan at schools, the breakfast in the morning. And when these long breaks come, they don't really know where to turn for food. So these being available on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday for 13 weeks is going to make a big difference.
Where did this idea come from? Has it been tried elsewhere? Do we know of other communities that have taken this approach to either crime prevention or crime alleviation?
Not to the level we're taking it. I mean, there are the old weed and seed programs that the federal government sent funding in, and those were good programs. They helped a great deal. My criticism of those programs is that they were a program, and a program by nature has a beginning and an end, and sometimes they were limited in scope. What we're trying to do is we're using data, and we're seeing what crime issues we have, what are those systemic issues that lead to crime, a degradation of quality of life, and trying to address those. This is not a program. This is a philosophical shift in the way we do business as a Department of Public Safety. If we're serious about public safety today and in the future, we have to talk about these systemic issues. And it means that we're one of maybe just a handful, and we like to say we're leading the nation in this because we continue to be invited back to the White House, and they've actually listened and enacted some of the things that we've requested, is that we are overlapping not only crime data, and not just trying to track down crime data and deal with crime issues, but deal with those root causes. This is not a program. This is a philosophical way. We want to expand this, quite frankly, to all 400 square miles of the city of Indianapolis. We're starting here because this is where a majority of the hurting and the crime is occurring in our communities.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about a new program that will have mobile food pantries delivering food to Indianapolis's chronically crime-ridden neighborhoods. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. Well, Willie, how heavy a lift is this going to be for Gleaners? I mean, as Director Riggs pointed out, you're looking at spending $100,000 to $150,000. And I'm assuming that that's only a ballpark estimate because you really don't know what the demand's going to be. If it's not been done before. So, you know, how big a stretch is it for your organization?
It's definitely going to be a heavy lift. It's something we've never done in Marion County. Our mobile pantry program, we really started that as a response to rural hunger, to where citizens are having trouble even making their way to a food pantry or a grocery store. And that was kind of on purpose because Marion County does have a close-knit network of food pantries and hunger relief agencies. So this is quite a bit of a heavy lift, but one we're willing to take as far as helping the hungry right here in our community. And so we feel like the community definitely is going to step up and help, just like Director Riggs pointed out. as far as helping with the quality of life and everything. We feel that partners will come together. It takes, and not to beat the drum or anything, but it takes a village to help everyone. And so...
No, you're trying to do the right thing. You actually, if you want to, can solicit support.
Right there we now. Go. That's right.
I'll give you the cue. You're allowed to ask people if they want to donate to help this. How should they do that?
Yeah, quickly, they can go to gleaners.org/give. You can learn more about all of Gleaners programs at gleaners.org. Once this program gets up and running and we figure out how much it is going to take, we'll be able to put a price tag on it and be able to really show the strides we've taken to make sure that this program is funded and can continue to move on and expand.
Now, when does it start? And when is the, you said there's 13 weeks. When's the start date and when's the wrap up?
Well, it looks like to me right now tentatively Monday, June the 15th, and then going through September the 12th. So I think that's to coincide with school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's going to run the course of the school year. And by the way,
summer break.
I'm sorry. It coincides though with that, and I'm assuming that in none of these neighborhoods they're dealing with the balanced school calendars or anything like that.
Not that we know of. We're going basically with IPS schedule and doing that as well. But you know, we have six areas. We have six partners that have stepped up to do this. We need volunteers still.
Mm-hmm.
If you're interested in volunteering as well, feel free to call Gleaners or call my office or shoot us an email. We'll be able to utilize you. And we have taken a clue from what Lilly has done in this community forever and other businesses in their day of service. And we're letting our employees, 3,200 employees within the Department of Public Safety, we're asking them to give back to their community. The mayor has granted them a day of work leave to work in one of these areas. And one of the things they're going to be working on are volunteers at these food pantries and handing food out and talking to people. That will include police officers, firefighters, EMS, and our civilian employees.
And you say if they want to volunteer, they should contact your office. How should they go about
doing that? The easiest way to do that is an easy email to remember, DPS, for Department of Public Safety, at nd.gov. That comes to my office, and we will utilize all the volunteers we can. It is a good thing. If these times and dates don't meet your schedule, we have tremendous opportunities for volunteerism in these areas, and we already have commitments by, I think right now we're over 1,000 commitments for volunteers to come to these six areas and work on a host of issues.
How many people do you need to make this work?
For this, I'll leave the experts. I mean, we're looking for us. We want to make sure we have a handful of our employees at each one, but then the churches and the people at each one will help. But I'm not sure how many total you would need at each pantry.
I think we're asking about 15 to 20 volunteers at each distribution. So half of that will be made up by DPS and their employees. And so I guess for each distribution, we're looking for 7 or 8 volunteers. That's it. They're right here in these church parking lots, and they can help out.
Okay, and are there only six of them, or is that the six neighborhoods? Do you have more distribution sites, like multiple distribution sites within the neighborhoods?
Well, we'll have one because, remember, the largest area that we have is 2 square miles.
Okay.
Most of them are half square mile, a mile and a half. Really, when we talk about this, when we talk about all the issues that are going on, remember, this is only 4.7% of our population, and they only live in 8 square miles. It's a small geographical footprint. So one station in each one of these is walkable, actually.
We are talking about ways to combat crime by feeding the hungry here in Indianapolis. My guests are Indianapolis Public Safety Director Troy Riggs and Willie Matus of Gleaners Food Bank. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about a new program that will have mobile food pantries delivering food to Indianapolis's chronically crime-ridden neighborhoods. My guests are Indianapolis Public Safety Director Troy Riggs and Willie Matus of Gleaners Food Bank. We've gotten a Facebook question from a listener named Gary. If you'd like to reach out to us via Facebook, you can do so at No Limits WFYI. Gary says, as a graduate student who has contributed to the well-being of FSSA and someone who was denied food assistance at my redetermination in May, I no longer receive the state grant or Pell Grant. This has told me that I am being punished for helping myself and the community where I live. I am not full-time and utilizing federal loans to pay for food. Are there ways to, in terms of Gary's question here, are there programs to push this out beyond the plans to push this out beyond the six neighborhoods? You'd said at one point, Director Riggs, that providing you wanted to provide food for the entire, 400 square miles?
Well, we want to use the data-driven approach that we've had. Obviously, in some areas of town, food's not an issue, but there may be other issues that we have to deal with. That's something that we'd have to grow, but quite frankly, we cannot grow this any further than the six areas unless we have a partner like Gleaners that's taking the lead. And Gleaners can't do it if they don't have the funding available to do it. So when there's a need, we certainly want to help out. I do know that people call Gleaners when they have an issue like this and talk, and Gleaners has been able to help. So I would suggest them to reach out and talk about his situation. And who knows, because of these conversations, sometimes we learn about another need that we didn't think was as tough to overcome as we thought, and we need to address that. So we are open to anything in the future, whatever the data and what we're hearing from the community. But right now, it's a pretty big step to hit these six areas. And with the type of money it's going to need and the volunteerism, we would like to see it expand in the future. But if it does, it's going to be because it's community-driven.
What you keep talking about the data, and that sort of raises the question, what's going to constitute success here for this program? I'm going to ask both of you that because I think the definitions might be slightly different. I'll start with you, Director Riggs.
Yeah, and that's a great question. There's a couple of things that will constitute success. Long term, we would like to see, obviously, violent crime go down. Now, this next part's going to be surprising to you. We'd like to see reports of property crime go up. And the reason I say that is we know people usually in these areas, there's a tendency not to cooperate with the police, not to report crime, so we know the crime is underreported. It's hard for me to believe, but yet I know this from data that nationally crime is underreported 30% to 50%, so an increase in property crime would be a good sign. One of the things that we're seeing now that's a good sign that people are giving us a chance is that there's been an increase in the amount of people giving tips to Crime Stoppers in these areas. So that's a level that we'll look at strictly on the crime numbers, not even addressing some of the quality of life issues.
Well, just to clarify on that, it sounds like what you're saying here is that you want to see the property crime numbers go up, not because you want more property crime,
right,
but because that's going to indicate that an approach like this has created a new relationship of trust with law enforcement.
Absolutely, and we have to have that, and people need to know that this is their police department and we're there to assist. So if they need to reach out to police, fire, if they have an animal care control issue, we want them to feel free to call for services. Right now, unfortunately, in some of these areas, they're not calling for services. We will have, in some areas of our community and healthy communities, we'll have a couple burglaries over the weekend, and Chief Height's phone will be ringing off the hook with people wanting to know about the burglaries and what he's doing about it. Quite frankly, we've had a couple of homicides in some of these areas and not get one phone call. The good news is, because of efforts of Gleaner, because of other people that have stepped up and volunteered, citizens are now calling Crime Stoppers and reporting crimes. You know, you look at it as a tip line, they're actually reporting crimes. Sometimes they're giving us tips on crimes that we didn't know occurred. So this is a good step. Things are starting to work better in the community, and that's only because of all the partnerships like the one we have with Gleaners.
And what is going to constitute success? What are the benchmarks for success for Gleaners, Willie?
I think success for Gleaners always is the amount of people that we can feed. We expect that there are going to be a lot of people that show up for these mobile food pantries, and just through sheer volume, that's going to be our success. But another layer to that is seeing new faces come in week to week, and seeing people who haven't been before because they've learned about it and now we're able to feed them because they've heard about it through word of mouth. And then one thing that we always measure ourselves is those success stories through the people who do get back on their feet. They find work and are able to then provide for themselves because of the help that we see during the summer months. Higher electricity bills with AC. Kids are out of school, so more meals need to be provided by the parents who are already working on slim budgets. So these hotspots and these mobile pantries providing this food, we hope that this can give enough relief so where they can get a little savings underneath them, be able to find work, and be able to then not have to show up in line anymore. We're just seeing new faces refill those lines.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about a new program that will start next month in which mobile food pantries will start delivering food to six Indianapolis neighborhoods that have been chronically crime-ridden as an attempt to alleviate the crime in there. My guests are Indianapolis Public Safety Director Troy Riggs and Willie Matus of Gleaners Food Bank. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You also can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at NoLimitsWFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. So I've got to ask, was this a hard sell at all, Director Riggs? I mean, in the sense that there are, at the risk of provoking the ire of some long-term law enforcement officials, they tend not to be the most innovative or open-minded bunch, in part because they have to encounter an awful lot of bad behavior on a daily basis. This is a different kind of approach to combating crime. Did it take some selling internally to get people to go along with it?
You know, it really didn't. I think when we started looking at the data and we started looking at what people are suffering, police officers in this city are doing a good job of arresting people. They're doing a good job of arresting the right people. And our numbers show that. Matter of fact, we're looking at preliminary numbers now, is that the arrest rates in Indianapolis, a lot of people are saying, you know, police departments do these grand sweeps and they're good for the media and all that, but you really catch up some people that shouldn't be arrested. Our arrest rates, it appears, are going down, but our quality of arrest have increased dramatically. One of the reasons, because we're using data, and then as we're in these neighborhoods and we're putting more people on the street, officers know what these systemic issues are. And you have to realize that this police department has a group of officers that when they arrive, they see the despair and they understand there's only so much they can do. So it really wasn't a hard sell. Now, there has been a lot of discussion because a lot of our training, and I say our because I came on as a police officer, is that you can arrest your way out of anything. The answer is always arrest. That's always the tendency for us that's been involved in law enforcement.
And as you sort of established, that's also the way we tend to measure success, too. Most of the accountability built into the system was on right. Tracking the numbers of arrests and convictions and all of that.
And what we've said is we have to be more sophisticated as a department looking at data, more sophisticated as a city and residents looking at data and understanding what that data means. But the good thing with us, with our department, we have a veteran police department. They understand what's driving this, and they want to be part of that solution. Not only do they want to be part of it, our firefighters, EMS, animal care control, I have eight divisions in the Department of Public Safety. All eight now, over the last 2 years, have firm business plans on how they need to govern in the future. And each one of those business plans is a special section on how they're going to deal and do their part for the residents in these areas because they face so many troubling issues.
Willie, was it a tough sell internally at Gleaners in any way? I mean, obviously you hadn't budgeted for it for this year, and you're left with a challenge, it sounds like, also of just finding some volunteers who will help implement it. I mean, were there some qualms? Maybe we can't do this, or, you know, this might be a little too big a leap for us?
I don't think it was a hard sell at all. We look at ourselves as being good community partners, and we want to work with great community partners like the Department of Public Safety. So whenever, again, back to Gleaner's vision is hope for every future, and we're always striving for that. We're always working for that, and we felt that the community partnerships will come together to make this work. That's why we're stepping out on this 13-week pilot to really see what it's going to take, what the need is, what the actual funding numbers will be, so then we can set those wheels in motion on making sure that this can be sustainable, that we approach the right people. And so I don't think it was a hard sell at all in the Gleaners halls.
We are talking about using food to feed the hungry and hopefully combat crime here on No Limits. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Margaret, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. And to all three of you, thank you for making this public. Congratulations. And as a fellow citizen who at times gets very frustrated, and I know I'm just one of many who go, will we ever be able to make a difference? You guys are providing a phenomenal vehicle, and I look forward to volunteering myself. And I know many, many people who maybe can only do it one day or 3 days or whatever, but would like to help. And doing it in these particular neighborhoods is beyond positive words. Thank you profoundly. Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call, Margaret, and for the comments.
And so that's, look forward to hearing of things and moving forward. I think you're laying some groundwork, too, that will make it easier to for various people and groups to continue at beyond the summer. Well, thank you.
Thanks very much. Well, that raises the question. I mean, we probably should talk also about, this innovative, the fact that we are focusing on these six areas. How is that going so far? I mean, has there been any early sort of benchmarks that we're having success in bringing down the crime rates in those neighborhoods?
Well, and here's where we have to have tough discussions. The reason we're in these six areas are that they're very difficult. And what I said at the beginning is things could get worse before they get better. Mm-hmm. And we just have to be realistic about it. This is a generational issue, decades in the making. It's not going to be solved in the first 3 months. So we'd had our first overview of crime in these areas for the first 3 months. Our shootings were up by two. Our homicides were up by two. Some of the other crimes are about equal, so things have gotten a little worse in these areas. Our Crime Stopper tips, which I'm very excited about, up 30%. Residents are involved. We have 30 firm partners now that want to come in these areas and deal with these systemic issues. The problem, John, is that as we look across our city and we're using data this year, homicides are down over 30% over where they were the year before. Shootings are down. We have to look at both of those. And then when you look at the property crimes last year were down significantly across our city. Things are going well for most of our residents in our community, except in these six areas and some of the areas surrounding these six areas. We have to do more as a Department of Public Safety, and that's why we've reached out to citizens. So it was great to hear the last caller. There's a new volunteer that we'll have. She'll tell the story. And as this city that has a history of doing that continues to do this, it doesn't matter who the Department of Public Safety director is, who the mayor is, who the chief is, the community can solve these issues.
We also have gotten an email from a listener named Linda, and if you'd like to reach out to us by email, you can do so at nolimits@wfyi.org. Linda says, does Gleaners take fresh vegetables from backyard gardens? I often have a surplus of cucumbers, tomatoes, and other items, as do some others who have gardens in the area.
We do.
You do. Okay. We do. So once again, here I'm going to put the two of you together. If Linda wants to get in touch with you so that she can set up a system to get her vegetables to you, how should she go about doing that, Willie?
Go ahead and email gleaners@gleaners.org. Let us know. We'll forward that along and get that into our people who are in charge of the food donations, so that we can make sure that everything's brought in the correct way and that we know what's coming so that we can let our food pantries know. I mean, we distribute this food across 21 counties. I know we're talking about Marion today, but we want to make sure we let all the food pantries know what's coming in, because they know their clients the best, just like our volunteers here with the CARE program. They'll let their volunteers or they'll know what those clients need most. So again, if you want to email gleaners@gleaners.org about any donations you'd like to give, that comes straight to my inbox, so I'll make sure it gets to the right person.
Is there any food that the Gleaners doesn't accept? Are there kinds that, that Gleaners won't take?
We do not take homemade jarred items or canned items just because we didn't know the process and the background, and we don't want to put food into the system that we don't know if it's all safe and handled in the proper manner for our clients. But other than that, no. Just like the show's called, No Limits on what we'll take.
No limits as to the food that you will take.
That's right.
Well, thanks for the plug there. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it very much. Yancey, welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call. I love your show.
Thank you.
First, I want to thank Gleaners and Mr. Riggs for the work that they do in our community. You know, Indianapolis is a pretty special place. I've lived in a lot of places, and Indianapolis is definitely the seat of Hoosier hospitality in many, many ways. At the same time, I've been fortunate to build a life here for my family that doesn't make Gleaners a necessity for me, but if people like myself or companies downtown like mine would like to make a cash donation to Gleaners, do we use that same email, gleaners@gleaners.org?
Yeah, you can do that or go to gleaners.org/give. You'll be able to give right there. But, yeah, if you have any creative ways on how you want to fundraise, and even if we want to put it specifically towards funding this program, shoot an email to gleaners@gleaners.org, and we're all about the creativity of fundraising. We can make that happen.
Cool. Yeah, that's what I was looking was to maybe be able to earmark the money for this program because it'll make such a difference in communities that need so much help.
Yep, that's awesome. Send an email there, and we'll get something rocking and rolling.
Beautiful.
Thank you very much for the call, Yancey.
Thank you.
Well, what has the feedback been? I mean, so far, you know, the feedback, the response to this has been overwhelmingly positive just on this program. Has that been the reception you've got when you're out talking about it, Director Riggs?
It has been. A lot of people excited. Even a 16-year-old young man was in my office today asking me some questions for a school project. He wants to know how he and his friends can get involved, how he can get young people in these areas to get involved in these pantries and helping people in their community. So getting a lot of good feedback. And one of the questions I get when I've been at the White House and some other national meetings, how we've been able to move this so far within 2 years and all the revamping we did to get ready internally and all the partnerships externally, always tell people it's uniquely Indianapolis. If you've never lived here, if you've never visited here, if you've never studied our city, you just don't understand the partnerships that we have. The only time I see people get in trouble in Indy is when they don't collaborate. You have to collaborate to be successful here.
We are talking about using food to combat hunger and crime here on No Limits. I am John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking with Indianapolis Public Safety Director Troy Riggs and Willie Matus of Gleaners Food Bank about a new program that will deliver food to Indianapolis's chronically crime-ridden neighborhoods. It's going to start next month on June 15th. And it sounds like there's nothing quite of this scale anywhere else in the country that this approach has been taken. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. Greg, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I think there's a number of people out there that are questioning, well, what in the world is the connection between public safety and providing food to impoverished neighborhoods? And I believe it was a previous No Limits program where I picked up on a statistic where a huge percentage of the fights that occurred in schools on the school violence program seemed to be specifically over lunch money. So So I think if we start trying to address people's food needs, especially in these impoverished neighborhoods, we can make a significant impact on the school violence issue if that statistic is anywhere near significant. And the other comment that I had is that I think there's a number of people out there that are saying, well, you know, okay, there's a lot of hunger going on everywhere. Why are we concentrating just in these particular neighborhoods? And I also happen to be a veteran of the mental health system, and I've worked with chronically mentally ill people and have taken crews of folks over to Gleaners Food Bank to do some volunteer work, and they themselves were the beneficiaries of the Gleaners food services and whatnot. And I can't think of a better way for people to give back to their communities, regardless as to their socioeconomic status, than by participating in this program. And again, I can't give Gleaners Food Bank more respect. It's a tremendous service that they're doing for the community and the state of Indiana, and I guess the Midwest as a whole in terms of the distribution of donated food. And I thank you very much for your efforts.
Greg, thank you very much, first for your call, and I've got to say, and thank you for listening to the program so closely. The fact that you are able to recite comments from previous shows is really gratifying. Thank you very much for the call.
Can I just say one thing about what he brought up, crime and in general? A couple of things. The 16-year-old I told you about that was in my office today, going to be a senior next year. He's in a lot of leadership training. He has been selected for things. A few years ago, he was selling marijuana. Why was he selling marijuana? Because his 5-year-old brother was hungry. That's why he was selling marijuana, and he got caught. That changed his life around when he got caught. We had a robbery that took place. Chief Hyde told me this story, where a person went into a sandwich shop, had a sandwich made. As the sandwich was, they were ringing it up, he robbed them of the money in the cash register, grabbed the sandwich, and apologized to the people there that he had committed this robbery. But it was obvious to them that he was hungry and wanted the food, even more so than the money. These are the issues. It does not excuse criminal behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It makes us understand a little bit more. And if we can take that food insecurity away, and these pantries are not going to solve all the hunger issues, but if someone comes and gets some food, gets some help with mental illness, gets some help with dependency, gets an opportunity to talk to someone about getting a job, who knows how many lives will be changed by this simple act of kindness that Gleaners making available to people.
Well, it sounds like years ago I volunteered at an Indianapolis public school that worked with what was called a full-service concept. They brought a lot of the community services into the school, doctors, dental care, and all of that, food as well. I'm not sure they partnered with Gleaners at the time, but my takeaway from that experience was what an anchor those schools were for a lot of those families, particularly those children, that when they came back, even from a relatively short break, like a Thanksgiving break or, you know, a fall break where they hadn't been at school and they didn't have access to the meals, they attacked the cafeteria with a vigor that was disturbing to see because, frankly, the food wasn't that good. You wouldn't think it would be that appealing, which said something about the nature of their hunger. I know we're talking about food here, but Director Riggs, you've also indicated that you want to bring some of those other services into these communities. You know, at what point do those parts of this approach come online?
Well, remember, we worked hard 2 years getting our Department of Public Safety and 3,200 employees in a place where we could do this, and then getting data that didn't exist before. So we've been working since January 1 and really working with the partners, and we have some exciting news coming forward. But Gleaners was the first big partner, and a lot of our partners are still trying to get some funding together, but we have of some services getting ready to go into schools in these areas. We have Gleaners. We have some things, some exciting things working with the Red Cross for these areas. I mean, this is going to continue to grow. It's going to continue to make an impact in lives. These are the issues we're dealing with in these areas. But as we expand throughout the city, there's going to be different issues everywhere. It has to be community-driven. We're not going to go anywhere. We're committed to this. The worst thing we can do, other than not deal with this at all, is to deal with it for a year and then just leave. We can't do that. That's then where do citizens turn at that point when you have their hope restored?
So there is a commitment. Willie has been saying this is a pilot program for this year. It's not a pilot in the sense that it could disappear. It's a pilot in that you're going to look at ways to do this.
Well, for us, it's a way of doing business. But, you know, we have to be honest about this. And that's why, as a director of public safety, I am not hesitant at all to say we have a great partner that's leading. We're not leading this initiative. Gleaners is. They're the expert. We're there to support. And one of the ways I can support is ask for donations. This can be the best program in the world, but if people aren't donating food or the monetary money to buy the food, this program can't continue. That's why we continue to say if we're serious about quality of life of all of our residents, it has to be community driven to be successful long term.
And Willie, let's talk a little bit about how this is going to work now too. I mean, we've got the six neighborhoods. It sounds like there's a single drop off point in each of these six neighborhoods?
Yes. There will be, we partnered with whether it's a church or a community center at each of these locations where we can be in their parking lot or a nearby park.
I'm about to put you on the spot. Do you know what the locations are? And do you have an idea of the times if people are listening and they want to, you know, be ready to take advantage of this starting June 15th? Where should they go? When should they go?
And Director Riggs, please correct me if I'm wrong, but we have 38th and Sherman will be at Emmanuel Presbyterian on Mondays from 4 to 6 p.m. At 16th and Tibbs, that's on Tuesday. It'll be the IMPD roll call site or Kroger around there. So that's Tuesdays from 4 to 6 p.m. On Wednesdays at the 29th and MLK, we'll be at Barnes United Methodist Church. And that's Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. On Fridays, that's the hot spot there is New York and Sherman. We'll be at Shepherd Community Center. And that Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. And then we have two drop-off sites on Saturday. The first one, 34th and Illinois, we're working with Phillips Temple and North United Methodist Church there for Saturday. And that's from 10 a.m. to noon. And then the last hotspot is 42nd and Post, again on Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon. We're working with Mount Carmel Church.
And what sorts of things will people be able to get there? I mean, what sorts of food?
We'll shape this just like our other mobile pantries that go out. This one, I believe we're going to have box trucks go out, but they'll be able to get everything from fresh produce to meat, shelf-stable foods. We'll set up tables on each side of the truck. People will come in, be able to check in. They'll come around, and they'll be able to shop. There's, depending on household size, that's how many different items you'll be able to get of each category. And so you'll be able to get a wide plethora of food.
So say I'm a single mother trying to feed a family of five. I've got four children.
Mm-hmm.
What am I able to get? What sort of limits are there on what I can get there?
We try to provide at least a week's amount of food. We figure that these mobile pantries are going to be able to supplement the food that people already have in their homes. And so the example you gave, you'll probably be able to walk home with probably – three, depending on the size of the meat, we always bring a variety of meat, three items, or if it's a big item, then you'll take one. We'll have shelf-stable snacks. That's usually one per person. And then depending on the variety of fresh produce, you'll be able to get two or three items there and even more. So you're going home with about a week to a week and a half worth of food.
I know from doing previous shows on this that sometimes the issue is not just getting the food to them, but also making them aware of how to prepare it.
Mm-hmm.
Will there be that kind of coaching and counseling available to people who would be coming here and say, okay, you know, unless it comes out of a can, I don't know what to do with it?
We do have a nutrition initiative going on at Gleaners where we will have nutrition education. We're piloting a lot of that stuff at our on-site food pantry on the southwest side. Yeah, I presume that we'll bring a lot of those materials with us. And as Director Riggs alluded to, as far as bringing in other community partners to be there on site during these distributions, we will look to bring in those nutrition education programs throughout the city to be able to put out that information for the clients.
Director Riggs, you've obviously during this program, the feedback, and it sounds like the community feedback on this has been overwhelmingly positive, but you've pointed out that in these communities, there are levels of distrust in regard to the police and other public safety officials. What's the response been in the neighborhoods that you're targeting here in a good way? Are there any indicators that those levels of distrust are coming down?
There are. The number that I keep pointing to is a 30% increase in tips to Crime Stoppers. Now, that's not as good as actually talking face-to-face to an officer or somebody in Department of Public Safety, but just over Memorial Day weekend, our Animal Care Control had an event where they did some free services for animals, the pets in the community that are so important to the children. If you can't afford food, you can't afford, pets to have their shots, so we did that. And they also fed some people while they were there. It wasn't the most nutritious meal in the world, but it was something to show them that we're valuing. So we're starting to see that. But, John, I've been involved in public safety a long time, and in the world of multimedia and texting and all that, sometimes we've lost the human element to just walk in and shake somebody's hand and see how they're doing. That's all we're trying to do. And we're going to gain trust each day. We know right now if you get shot in the city of Indianapolis and you don't die as a result, only 50% of the time will that person talk to the police department and give information. We've got to see those things come down, or we'll continue to have escalations and violence in future years, even though homicides are down this year. I'm not out bragging about homicides being down. I'm being very realistic and saying until we deal with these systemic issues, homicides and crime will go back up at some time. It's just a matter of time.
I've gotten an email from a listener named Philip, and our email address is nolimits@wfyi.org. Philip says, I applaud what you're doing. We could put everyone to work that wanted to work. If you really want to help Indianapolis families, our infrastructure across the country needs repair badly. By doing this, we would create a better quality of life, too. Our Republican Congress refuses to work out any sound reasoning to put poor and people of color to work. How much of this, is a response that also we need to get people more engaged in some sort of community service?
Remember, we're talking about feeding today. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's the basic, one of the basic necessity of lives. But there's this big spectrum of all these issues we have to deal with. Employment is a huge issue. And not only are we working to try to provide opportunities, and obviously a works program with new roadways and infrastructure would be fantastic, and I hope that happens someday. We don't control that. I don't control Congress. I don't know if anybody controls Congress except the American people.
Not even Congress.
Exactly. So, but you know what we can do as a community?
Yeah.
We can look in these six areas where we know that 20 to 35% of the homes are vacant, and we can work with groups like Purposeful Design that has a group of men. Some of them have been heroin users in the past that are learning basic carpentry skills, making furniture. We can buy that furniture for those of us that have disposable income. We can open up opportunities through our code enforcement for those men to come in and learn plumbing and landscaping and all these things for house remodeling and remodel some of these homes and make those available to some families in these areas and give them an opportunity to move forward. And as those communities grow, their investment grows. Those are the things grassroots that we can do without having to sit and wait for Congress. If I waited for Congress my entire career as public safety director, I would have gone nowhere. Congress is important, offered a lot of help, but this is Indiana, this is Indianapolis. We can get the ball rolling down the right path, and if Congress comes around, that's going to help us even more.
Got to ask the question. I mean, you said a little while ago that the worst possible thing that could happen is that you do this for a year and then go away, and you mentioned that Mayor Ballard has been on board and supportive of it, but by this time next year, Indianapolis is going to have another mayor. Have you talked with the Democratic and Republican candidates for mayor? Are they on board with it as well?
Somewhat. And then we've talked to people with them, and what I've told the community that's worried about that, and you're being very kind, there could be a new mayor, there could be a new public safety director. I mean, I'm in no illusion there. The fact is, though, if it's community-driven, the community will make sure that this continues. And I think both of the people running for mayor are reasonable. They understand this. I do believe it's going to continue because of future leadership, but also because this is what the community is rallying around. And Gleaners, if they're involved and they have funding come in, and they're going to stay there regardless, Troy Riggs, director of public safety, Chief Heights, the chief of police, and the mayor is the mayor. It's going to continue. It has to be community-driven. If it's going to be government-led, it's going to fail eventually because so many things happen within government. But that's why we have been focused so much on getting community partners. That's where it's going to be beneficial. And right now we have 31 firm community partners that have either put money, volunteers, effort, or they have major planning for these areas. And to me, that's incredible. And that's why I say it's uniquely Indianapolis. I don't think this could happen anywhere else.
We're getting close on time here. So I think given the level of interest from our listeners in supporting this, I want to give each of you a chance to let people know how they can get in touch if they want to help. Willie, I'm going to start with you first.
If you want to get in touch with Gleaners, learn more about the CARE program, first place you can start is gleaners.org. Obviously, the funding is a big aspect, so just add a /give to the end of that, gleaners.org/give. If you have any other questions, email us at gleaners@gleaners.org.
Real quick.
DPS@indy.gov, DPS@indy.gov. John, thank you once again for bringing this topic up.
Oh, certainly.
Yes, thank you very much.
I'd like to thank both of my guests, Troy Riggs and Willie Matus. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Executive producer, Michelle Johnson. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive media coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And board engineer, Joe Hatcher. Abby Terzini screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations. We'll be right back.